WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there's no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. This morning, it's going to be a double feature of Anthony Ellis's Frontier Gentleman, and then at the end of the show, I might do a memorandum for Burt Reynolds. Brought a couple of things. It's the 12th of September. It's the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Ike hitting Houston. 11th anniversary of the unknown hurricane Umberto that also skirted past Houston. Anyway, enough with the Florence talk. Florence is barreling down the Carolinas. Good luck with that. Episode 6, The Claim Jumpers, has an original air date of the 9th of March, 1958.
In the mining country of Montana Territory, it seems that it's one thing to find gold and another to claim it as your own.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
I've been traveling along the Mullenwagon Road in Montana Territory, and I was looking forward to reaching Helena before dark when my horse began to go lame. And I realized I faced the prospect of camping out for still another night. I had just rounded a bend in the trail when I saw the small figure plodding along on foot ahead of me. He carried a pack on his back, and as I drew nearer, I saw that he was no more than a boy, 17 or 18.
Hi.
Hello.
Going into Helena?
Yes, but I don't think I'll get there tonight. Horse has gone lame.
Oh. Yeah, right foreleg, huh?
Yes. He slipped off a rut a mile or so further back.
Too bad. Thought I might get a ride with you. There haven't been many wagons along today.
No. How far have you walked?
Mostly from Fort Benton. Got a couple of rides day four yesterday. See? You don't happen to have any food on you? I ain't got much, but I could pay a dollar or two, I guess.
Oh, I've enough for the two of us. You better save your money.
Oh, that's mighty nice of you.
Keep your eyes open for a decent bit of ground, and we'll make a camp. About half a mile beyond, we found a somewhat sheltered spot a little way off the trail. The youngster, his name was Bill Richmond, gathered wood, and I prepared the food. It was almost dark by the time we had finished.
Well, that was as fine a meal as I've ever eaten, Mr. Kendall.
And I'm glad you enjoyed it, Bill. You smoke?
No, sir. I haven't found a taste for it yet.
Well, you've got time. Take my advice. When you do, use a pipe.
Yes, sir.
Where'd you come from?
Kentucky.
A long way.
Yeah, I ran away from home. It wasn't much of a place. I figured I was old enough.
And you came out here for gold?
That's right. Hey, you make any strikes, Mr. Kendall?
No. I'm not a prospector. How did you get to Fort Benton, Bill?
I worked my way up one of them river boats. I sure learned plenty about gold mining from some of them fellas. You know what it says there's places in this country where you can pick the gold right off the ground?
I imagine the trick is to find those places.
Oh, I will. Of course, I don't mind digging some if I have to.
I wish you luck. Hello. Sounds that we have visitors.
How are you? Me and my pals saw the light of your fire off of the trail. You mind company?
No, not at all.
My name's Jack Hinton. This is Rod Goodall.
Howdy.
And him with a long face there, that's Dauncey Abbott.
How are you?
J.B. Kendall. The nipper is Bill Richmond.
Howdy.
I'd offer you some food, but I'm afraid we used the last
one. Oh, that's all right. We got our own grub. But how's the firewood?
Enough, I think.
Dauncey, your turn for the grub. Get going.
Nothing I hate worse than
He hates cooking like thunder, but he sure knows how to make a son of a gun stew. Oh, now that fire sure does feel good.
You and the kid have any luck? Find any traces around here?
As a matter of fact, Mr. Goodall, I haven't been looking. I'm on my way to Helena. No, Bill is the prospector.
Oh, that's so? Boy, we just camping down for the night. I aim to try my luck west of Helena.
So, huh? Well, now, boy, how come you wait until you get there?
Well, I heard tell of big strikes. That's how come, mister.
Oh, now, you listen to me, boy. There ain't no sense going everybody else goes. But for all you know, you're sitting on a bonanza right now.
Well, you're joshing me.
No, I ain't. Here, Rod, ain't that the truth?
It could be.
Why, sure it could. Now, listen... I heard stranger ask.
Oh, they're pulling your leg, Bill.
No, sir, no such of a thing, mister. Now, listen here. Me and the boys, we was working Deer Lodge country a year. Dauncey, you remember?
I remember.
Why, sure. Now, a couple of fellers right in the next camp to us. They got into a shoot-up. Next thing you know, one of them bites the dust. Other fella, he starts out to bury the poor son of a gun. He digs a grave right there in the camp, and what do you think?
Yeah?
Pay dirt. Lousy with gold.
Oh. Mr. Hinton, you'd take first prize with that one. In a minute, you'd have me believe in you.
Oh, but that's the truth, though. Oh, we've seen stranger things than that.
And that's a fact.
It was a pleasant way to pass the night. Three prospectors, hard-bitten, rough men, spinning one tale after another. They'd never find a better audience than Bill Richmond, and they knew it. I could see him absorbing every word. And it wasn't until the fire was getting low that we finally turned in. At first, I thought I heard the shouting in my dreams. And then I knew that I was awake, and it was beginning to grow light in the east.
I struck it, Mr. Kendall! Look! Looky here! I'm rich! I made it!
What are you talking about, Bill?
Just like they said here! I found it!
Found what?
The gold!
Oh, boy, what's gold? What?
Look, Mr. Hinton, sir, look here, gold.
Gold?
All night, I thought about what you told me, you know? All them stores... I didn't even sleep for it. And this morning here, I got up and I walked up the gulch, and I found this.
Now, let me see that. Iron pyrites, I'll bet you.
May I see?
Ain't it gold, Mr. Kendall? It is. The fellas on the boat, they told me what to look for.
Iron pyrites, I tell
you. Don't see? Fetch me the hammer.
Here, I got more in my pockets. Look at this
one. Will you shut your mouth a minute?
Where'd you find it? Surface?
No, kind of sticking out of a rock in a gully. I can show you. Well, I'm sure obliged to you, Mr. Hinton.
Here's the hammer.
If you want my opinion, you're wasting your time. That's gold.
Sure it is, Mr. Kendall.
It don't break. It's soft. No alloy in it, neither. No silver or copper. Look at the color. Pure gold.
Show us where you found it, boy.
We followed Bill into a gulch which began no more than 100 yards from the campfire. He turned into a shallow gully and stopped. I could see where he had cut into the rocky bank with his pocket knife. And I could see something else, too, in the faces of the men who stood over him. the guarded tones of voice.
Bill? Bill, I would say that you've hit it. That's a fact. Ain't no question in my mind. No telling how far that vein goes.
Say, don't think I'll forget you fellas, because I won't. I'm going to make a fine present to all of you.
Well, that's mighty thoughtful, boy. Mighty thoughtful.
I imagine one stakes out a claim now. Isn't that so, Mr. Hinton? Hmm. Then register it in Helena?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sure is, Kendall. That's the thing to do. Yeah. Bill? Bill, I don't guess you'd mind if me and the boys take a look on up the gully a ways, would you? It should be plenty for all of us.
Oh, no, sir, you go right ahead. I ain't no hog now. I got all I need right here.
Good. Then we'll help you then make out the claim, all proper and legal.
Well, that's fine.
All right, let's go, boys.
Kendall, you coming?
In just a moment.
Miss Kendall, listen. Right up this gully. I owe you plenty picking me up, sharing your food with me and all. I'm cutting you in for a share of this.
Oh, no. It's yours. If there's more here, I'll stake my own claim.
No, you don't have to. Now, this here must be worth hundreds and thousands.
Listen to me, Bill. The most important thing is for you to register that claim. Get title to it. You understand?
Sure.
All right. Have you got a gun?
No, I ain't got no gun.
Well, you know how to use one.
Well, I guess so, but...
I'd take it. Just in case of accidents. I'm going with the others now. If any more strangers come, don't tell them what you found.
All right, Mr. Kendall.
You better go back to camp now. Wait for me there.
Sure. If you say so.
I stayed with the three prospectors almost the whole day. We found traces, all right, low-grade ore, but nothing really worth working. It was late afternoon when we retraced our steps to the camp. On the way, we passed through the gully and the site of Bill's claim. The sun had already fallen behind the mountains to the west, and there was a chill in the air.
Can't just figure it. Just the one vein.
Possibly it's a question of digging. Seems to be a number of gullies running off.
We looked around these parts a couple of years back. Remember, Rod?
That's right. I'd swear what the kid found's a freak. Might not go more than a foot or two, and then peter out.
No, don't look that way to me. I'd say she'd show better than... $2,000 a ton.
Mm-hmm. Lucky boy.
Yeah, ain't he, though. Say, Kendall... You and the boy, you partners or something?
Oh, no. Oh. I met him yesterday for the first time.
Oh? A man can search a lifetime, not find anything like that.
Yeah. Kind of crazy, ain't it?
We tell him stories, and he takes us up on it and finds this.
Think that'd be worth a share in the claim, wouldn't you?
He sure shooting wouldn't have come looking if we hadn't given him the idea.
Sure. What do you think, Kendall?
I think, gentlemen, that this is Bill Richmond's claim, and we'd better get it staked out for him before dark.
The way you see it, huh?
Exactly that way.
Yeah. Well, might as well get on back to camp.
Well, don't you think it'd be a good idea to help the boy to stake out his claim before nightfall?
I don't know, Kendall. I'm kind of tired right now. How about you fellas?
I sure had enough for one day.
Oh, that vein's been there a long time. Guess you won't be moving tonight. Kendall, you know how to stake out a claim.
Unfortunately, no.
Oh. Well, I guess it can wait. Do something about it in the morning, huh? Because right now, I sure could use some grub.
In a moment, we return to Frontier Gentlemen. A suspense story starring Agnes Moorhead and the latest action-packed adventure with insurance investigator Johnny Dollar are two of the exciting dramas waiting for you on CBS Radio today. If you like your listening on the thrilling side, don't miss Agnes Moorhead on Suspense. And don't miss Johnny Dollar's tense tangle with a spy ring on most of these same stations today. And now we return you to Anthony Ellis' production of Frontier Gentlemen. In the camp now, there was a very different atmosphere. Sullen, I think, is the best word for it. A subtle hostility had settled like a gray mist. I saw the men huddled together as Bill and I prepared the campfire, and I had a pretty good idea of what they were talking about.
Oh, she's going fine now, Mr.
Now,
Kendall.
Listen to me, Bill. I think we may be in for a bit of trouble, and no matter what happens, keep your head.
How come?
No time to explain now, you'll see. Just don't lose your temper.
Bill.
Yeah, Mr. Hinton?
Bill, me and the boys been talking. Now, we figure while it's still light, you ought to get that claim staked out all regular.
Oh, yeah, that's fine with me.
Now, of course, doing you a service like that, seeing how you nor Kendall know about such things, we reckon it ought to be worth something to you.
Oh, that's all right. I don't want something for nothing.
There, see? See what I tell you, boy? He's a good kid.
You was right.
Do you think such services are worth, Mr. Hinton?
Even shares all around? Cut you in too, of course, Mr.
Even
Kendall.
Shares?
Just a moment, Bill. Pretty expensive, isn't it? I imagine a lawyer wouldn't charge that much.
Ain't no lawyers around here, is there, Jack?
No, sir.
Now, Bill, it's kind of like protecting your rights, you see? Because if anything happened and you didn't get to get your claim registered, why, the next feller comes along, the whole thing belonged to him, you see?
Rather awkward situation, isn't it?
It sure is.
We're taking the gamble as much as you, kid. Why, heck, that vein might not be worth nothing a foot down.
I was under the impression you thought it would work out to about $2,000 a ton.
Look, mister, we're doing business with the boy, not with you.
I'm representing his interests. That right, Bill?
Yes, sir.
Since when?
About the same time as you decided to help him register his claim, Mr. Goodall.
Well, what's your deal with the kid?
We have a gentleman's agreement.
Pretty smart. And you come in for half.
Presuming that I did. That still leaves him half, which is a lot better than a fifth share. As it happens, I have no intentions of doing so.
You believe this dude, kid?
Yeah, I believe him.
We ain't getting nowhere. Don, see, might as well get going on the grub.
I did it last night.
Well, do it again.
It ain't my turn.
Come over here. You too, Rob.
Have you got the gun on you, Bill?
Yeah, stuck in my belt here. Yeah.
And keep your jacket buttoned. Don't let them see it.
You figure they're going to take my gold away from me, Mr. Kendall?
I think they'll make a good try.
Well, I ain't going to let them.
Keep your voice down.
I'm sorry, sir. That sure gets me mad, though. I heard about claim jumpers, but I never expected to run into them this quick.
The price of fame and fortune.
Well, they're going to have to kill me to get mine.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that. The conference is over.
All right, me and the boys got an offer to make.
Happy to listen to any offer.
You and the kid take 50%, we take 50%.
I'll make you a counteroffer. You take nothing, I take nothing, Bill takes all.
You see, I told you. Now look, mister, you ain't in no position to make an offer. Till that claim gets registered, it don't belong to no one. Now, if me and the boys decide to stake it out for ourselves, what are you going to do about it?
I imagine there'd be some shooting, don't you?
You only got one gun. We got three.
Would you like to draw first?
No, ain't no use that kind of talk. Now, nobody's talking about a shoot-up. We just want what's rightfully ours. We told the kid where to look. That makes us equal partners.
I don't think so.
Oh, no, sir. If the kid rides in to get someone out to stake that claim for him, you know we got the right to take over while he's gone.
If I let you.
It ain't your strike.
He'll give me power of attorney in writing.
You bet I will.
What's he talking about? Are you a lawyer?
No.
Of course, maybe you ride to Helena. Leave him here.
Very doubtful.
All right, now see how it is then? We got all the grub. You got none. We can just sit it out and wait.
By and by, you'll get so hungry, you'll sell us the whole thing for some eats.
And did you ever stop to consider that the wagon trail is not very far away? All Bill has to do is to wait for someone to come along.
I wouldn't be surprised if there were one or two honest men who would give him a hand staking his claim. I'd be happy to stay here while he's gone.
All right, all right, all right, Kendall, all right. All right, you win. I guess we know when we're licked. Huh? Boys, we'll pull out.
Now, come.
Shut your mouth, Dauncey. Say, we'll pull out. Kendall is right. Kid found it. It's his claim. And just to show you, Mr. Kendall, that there's no hard feelings, we'll leave you some of our grub. How's that?
Extremely kind.
Well, I'll pay for it, Hinton. Well, you figure it out.
No, kid, it's a present to you. To make up for what we tried to do to you.
Sort of a conscience salve, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, come on, boys, let's get moving.
I didn't have the heart to laugh at Hinton's clumsy attempt to put us off guard. They packed their belongings and within 10 minutes were riding off down toward the Mullen Road. At the same time, I had no illusions about our somewhat uncomfortable position.
You figure they'll come back?
I think there's no doubt of it.
I'm sure glad I got this here gun in.
I hope you don't have to use it.
You all want me to get started on the grub?
Yes, you might as well.
Sure is something. What happens to fellas when they get a sight of gold, ain't it?
History has a way of repeating itself, Bill. I went through something like this only a week ago in Fort Benton.
You know what I'm going to do if that stock's really worth something? I'm going to sell out. You know, I'm going back to Kentucky. I'm going to fix things up just fine for my mom and pa and the kids.
Brothers and sisters?
Oh, yeah, a whole slew of them. 8. That's one of the reasons I took off.
Well, the immediate problem seems to be our friends. If I send you to Helena now, they might be waiting for you. On the other hand, if I go, they could come back here.
I'm feared either way.
No doubt. But your claim won't be worth much to you if you're not alive to enjoy it.
Hmm. Mr. Kendall?
Hmm?
What are you doing in Montana?
Oh, nothing much, really, Bill. I think the word is drifting. I drift about. Do a little writing for a newspaper in London.
London, England?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know something? I never did learn reading and writing. That's something else I'm going to do when I get back.
It's a good idea. But we'd better make preparations to make sure you do go back. As far as I could determine, their most likely line of approach would be up a shallow draw. We packed everything we could find under our blankets to make it appear we were asleep in the clearing. An hour passed. The moon rose.
Mr. Kendall.
Yes. Yes, I heard it. Take out your gun, but don't shoot unless I tell you to.
All right, sir.
And keep down behind the brush.
Now, boy, get him ready. Well, that should ought to have done it, boys.
No.
What?
Wait a minute. It ain't them under the blankets.
It ain't.
Just a lot.
Drop your guns, gentlemen. Stand just where you are.
We was just coming back to see you was all right.
Your thoughtfulness shatters me.
I told you it wouldn't work.
Pick up their guns, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Now, gentlemen, we'll wait until it's light enough. Then you are going to stake out a claim. It'll be in the name of William Richmond. Are there any objections? Good. All right, make yourselves comfortable. And then while we're waiting, perhaps you'd like to tell us some more stories. The next morning, bright and early, Bill's claim was properly marked off, and to doubly ensure that there would be no more dirty work, our dishonest friends were led, well trussed, into the sheriff's office at Helena. Bill's strike didn't make him a great fortune, but it was enough to take him home a richer man than he came out. I allowed him, under the circumstances, to reward me, and he did. very fairly. $1,000. Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Eddie Firestone, Larry Dobkin, Jack Moyles, and Vic Perrin. Music was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Right after the Ford Roadshow, which follows immediately on most of these same stations, stay tuned for the New York Philharmonic Concert performance of Electra. And join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. John Wall speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Actually, this is the WMFO Radio Network. That was The Claim Jumpers. Original air date was the 9th of March, 1958. Again, starring John Denner. You heard all that. Right now, we'll go to George, Digital George and Henry.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0, all guns are always loaded. Rule 1, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
As I indicated at the top of the show, this is a double feature featuring Frontier Gentlemen. This would be episode 8. I'm skipping episode 7 because I didn't exactly like the sound quality on the available recording. This one has a 23rd of March original air date. It's a couple weeks later, 1958. This is Arthur. Listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, and or WMFO.org.
It's amazing what a man will do to himself over a woman, and still more amazing what a woman will do to herself over a man. This story happened in Virginia City, Montana Territory.
Frontier Gentlemen. An Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. In just 1 minute, we will bring you this latest report from the Frontier Gentleman.
What are you stopping here for, Clark? The country club is still a half mile away.
I know, Scarlet, but I don't want to drive up to the club in this low-priced car.
But the snow is 6 inches deep, and I'm wearing my ballerina slippers.
Well, you'll just have to hoof it, baby. I'm not driving any further. You're much too big for a piggyback.
Oh, the snow is cold.
Take bigger steps.
Oh, that won't help. Why don't you get a big car like a swept-wing Dodge?
A Dodge? I can't afford a big car like that.
Oh, yes, you can. Even though Dodge is a big car, it's priced below 59 different models of the low-priced field.
What? You mean I can own a big swept-wing Dodge for less than I paid for my car?
That's right. And you get all that big car roominess and big car luxury. With a Dodge, you get all the car you're paying for.
Okay, Scarlett. Let's forget the Dodge, dear, and go see our Dodge dealer.
Oh, wonderful, darling. On these cold feet, who could dance anyway?
Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman. Virginia City, Montana Territory, was particularly noted for three things. Its gold, Henry Plummer and his band of outlaws, and the vigilantes. The vigilantes disposed of the Plummers and were replaced by a more lawful authority, so that by the time I arrived, only the gold remained. And of course, those who sought it, the miners. They filled the town day and night, spending their hard or easily won money in saloons, gambling houses, and hurdy-gurdy establishments. I was attracted to one of these on the night of my second day in Virginia City. It was a brilliantly lit saloon called Skinner's, and outside was a large sign proclaiming the appearance of Miss Eulalia Robinson. I went inside.
Kindly refrain from shooting six guns in the establishment, because the next man that does it is going to get thrown out on his saddle. With your kind permission, I have the honor of presenting the world-famous actress, Miss Eulalia Robinson. She has appeared before the crowned heads of Europe and honors us with a presence tonight by a special appointment to Her Majesty, the Queen of England. Ladies and gentlemen, Henry Irvin's leading lady, Miss Eulalia Robinson. For her first recitation, Miss Robinson will give us a scene from William Shakespeare's play, Romeo and Juliet.
Thou knowest the mask of night is on my face. Else would a maiden blush bepaint my cheek. For that which thou hast heard me speak tonight, fain would I dwell on form.
She was in her late 30s. Not a good actress. Not even beautiful. But her manner, the dignity of carriage, created an illusion of beauty which captivated her audience. She remained on the stage for a solid hour, and by the time she was finished, I could see that every man in that saloon was completely taken by her, and more than one imagined himself to be hopelessly in love.
Boy, ain't she something. Now that's what I call a woman. Hey, where are you going?
I want to meet her.
Who knows? Hey, by the way,
Mr. Skinner?
Yeah?
My name is Kendall.
What?
Kendall.
Kendall?
Yes, that's right. I'd like to meet Miss Robinson.
Yeah, you and 100 more. It'll tear the place down.
Now, I'm a correspondent for the London Times, newspaper.
Newspaper man?
Yes.
Sure, come on. Duck under here. How'd you like it?
That's real culture, huh?
Well, she's quite a success.
Yeah, she sure is. What paper do you say you write for?
London Times.
Well, that's so. Well, Miss Robinson will get a kick out of that. You and her both coming from England.
Yes? Come in.
Oh, that was just fine, Miss Robinson. Real fine. Say, this is Mr. Kendall. He writes on the London Times.
Mr. Kendall.
How do you do?
May I present my business associate, Mr. Grimes.
How are you? Grimes?
I guess you folks have plenty to talk about. I'll go on back and get the boys quieted down. Virginia City never heard anything like you gave us tonight, Miss Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Skinner.
Not at all. I'll see you later.
Well, won't you sit down, Mr. Kendall?
Oh, wait a minute. Kendall, you got identification or something proving you're a correspondent?
Not on me, no.
I don't think it really matters.
Well, it does to me. You know what I mean, Kendall. Miss Robinson is popular. A lot of fellas like to come busting in and make any excuse, you know what I mean. I gotta watch out for her interests.
I understand.
And she's kind of tired right now. Why don't you let her go till tomorrow?
If you'd rather, Miss Robinson?
No, not at all. I'd rather enjoy being interviewed tonight.
And I say it's not a good idea.
You're being extremely rude, James. Perhaps you'd care to take supper with me, Mr. Kendall.
Why, I'd be delighted.
No.
No?
No, no, she's not gone.
I hope you'll forgive me, Mr. Kendall. He thinks that every man who looks at me is thinking dire and dreadful.
My intentions are completely honorable, Mr. Grimes.
Really?
I don't want to discuss it anymore, James. Now, both of you, please wait outside. I must change my clothes. I shan't be alone, Mr. Kendall.
Listen, Kendall. I'm sorry I acted the way I did, but if I don't keep an eye on her, nobody's going to. You know what I mean?
I think so.
I mean, nothing personal, but as her business manager, I've got to take care of things. Now, she gets awful tired traveling around this way. Best thing for her right now is to go back to the hotel and get some sleep.
As a business manager, Mr. Grimes, I should think you'd be happy to have a newspaper interview.
Oh, sure, sure I am. But you know how these actresses are. They're like kids. They don't even know what's good for them.
I hadn't been aware.
Well, take my word for it. So you go on ahead. Now, I'll tell her you see her tomorrow.
Under the circumstances, I'm afraid she'd think it was rather impolite, don't you? Why not wait until she comes out?
All right. We'll make it tonight. A nice quiet supper at the hotel, three of us.
Mr. Grimes, I get the distinct impression that for some reason or other, you don't want me to be alone with Miss Robinson. Am I right?
I'm her business manager.
So you said.
And she doesn't talk to anyone unless I'm around.
Strange. I got the impression that she didn't want you around.
I don't care what you think. I'm coming along. If you don't like it, no interview.
There. That didn't take long, did it? Are we ready, Mr. Kendall?
Yes.
Lely, you're going back to the hotel.
Good night, James. I'll see you in the morning.
We walked down the street to the hotel. She talked about some of her experiences in the territory, rather nervously, I thought, seeming almost deliberately to avoid her background of successes in England. I ordered champagne with dinner, and I could see that rather than making her feel more at ease, the drink only increased her anxiety.
I'm afraid that James is right, Mr. Kendall. I must be tired. Champagne makes me feel quite giddy, but I will have just a tiny drop more.
Of course.
You know, James is very angry with me.
I gathered that.
He's a jealous man. You wouldn't think so, would you? But he is.
I don't think I blame him.
He has no reason to be. We're only business associates. It's not as though we were married or anything. James doesn't believe in marriage. He says it deadens one.
Do you think so?
I don't know. I've never been married. My work hasn't allowed for it.
Did you meet Grimes in England?
Oh, no. No, that was in Boston. He saw me perform and asked to represent my interests.
I see.
Oh, he'll be very angry about this. Me being with you tonight.
May I ask you something?
Please.
Why are you afraid of him?
Afraid? Oh, afraid of James? How utterly ridiculous. Does it show so very clearly?
Yes.
May I have some more champagne? You know I'm not English, don't you?
Yes.
I never played with Henry Irving. Never saw England. Never did any of the things they say I did.
I didn't think so.
By appointment to Her Majesty? James thought that sounded fine. He took it from a bottle of Scotch whiskey. Do you know what I am, Mr. Kimmel? I'm a liar. My whole life is a lie. I'm not even a good actress.
I was completely charmed by your performance.
How sweet. How gentlemanly and nice you are. Mr. Kendall, you're terribly attractive. You're the most attractive man I've ever met. No. No, that's not true. My husband was the most attractive man. You see, I lied about that, too.
You are married.
I was. James is always afraid I'll tell someone.
Why?
Well, the marriage didn't end very nicely.
Why do you tell me?
Too much champagne.
I don't think so.
I'm tired, then. I wish I could cry. Do you know, Mr. Kendall? I haven't been able to cry for 3 years. And there are so many tears.
The shots had come from outside. Just for a moment, I saw a shadowy figure at the broken window. Then it was gone in the night. Miss Robinson was lying on the floor. A thin line of blood ran from the corner of her mouth. She was unconscious.
In a moment, we return to Frontier Gentlemen. Today on CBS Radio's Suspense, Vanessa Brown and Jim Amici will co-star in Affair at Loveland Pass, a Western thriller with a psychological twist. Exciting dramas waiting for you, too, on yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Join us on most of these same stations later today as action-packed stories come your way on CBS Radio's Suspense and yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And now we return you to the Anthony Ellis production of Frontier Gentlemen.
I just heard. Who did it?
I'm not sure, Mr. Skinner.
The doctor's on his way. I'll be here in a few minutes. Oh, she doesn't look good.
I think the bleeding stopped.
The boys down in the saloon are mad. Word's got around here in a lynching mood. Sheriff's trying to ease him down.
Mr. Skinner, was Mr. Grimes there?
I didn't see him.
I just wondered.
I guess he ought to be told. He's staying down at the Nugget Hotel.
Yes, it might be a good idea.
Well, I'll go on down myself. Now, listen, Mr. Kendall. If there's anything she needs, you sing out. Anything at all. One of my boys will be outside. You just say the word.
Right.
I'll be back.
What a strange feeling.
Miss Robinson?
No pain at all. I've always thought there would be.
The doctor is coming.
I don't really mind, you know.
Don't talk.
Funny. I never believed him. He always threatened to do something like this.
Dr. Todd, where's the wound, please?
Oh.
Kindly wait outside, sir.
Yes.
I'm Dave. Skinner told me to wait. What's the doc say?
Nothing yet.
I'd sure like to get my hands on that feller at Dunnett.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of us would.
She's a lady. A fine lady. Not like them hurdy-gurdies around here. It don't matter if one of them stops a piece of lead. She real bad hurt?
Pretty bad.
You figure it was some crazy liquored up son of a gun, don't you?
I don't know if he was drunk or not.
I mean the fellas. We've come to see how the lady is.
We don't know yet.
There's more downstairs. We just wanted to know we're going to get the son of a gun to Dry Gulch, sir. Doc Todd come yet?
He's in there now.
Well, you give him this. There's $300 of better gold dust than that. You tell Doc he pulls her through, he'll get another like it. The boys wanted to know they're with her.
Sure do.
I'll tell her.
You do that. I got a couple of dollars. That goes for me, too. Give it to the doc.
I will.
I can't operate yet. She's lost too much blood.
She gonna be all right, huh, Doc?
Don't ask fool questions, boy. I'm not God. Right now, she's asleep. Well, you're Kendall, aren't you?
Yes.
Lucky for her you were around. If she lost any more blood, she'd be dead. Well, you might as well get some shut-eye. I'll stay with her.
I left the hotel and went out into the street. There were 50 or 60 men standing about, quietly waiting. I told them all that I knew. Then I saw Mr. Skinner hurrying up. He motioned to me, and we walked away from the crowd.
Grimes. Couldn't find him.
Oh?
Hotel clerk said he hadn't seen him all night. Now, I've been thinking. Is there something wrong between these two? I heard arguing this afternoon in her dressing room over at the saloon. I didn't think anything of it then, but with this...
I think we'd better find him, Mr. Skinner.
He did it?
I don't know, but it's possible.
I'll get some of the boys.
No.
What's the matter? You a friend of his? You trying to protect him?
Neither one, but all they need is an excuse. If they even suspect someone, they'll hang him. I prefer things more legal.
He's a killer. We've handled that kind before in Virginia City.
Miss Robinson is not dead. No, what I suggest is that you talk to some of the men who aren't likely to take matters into their own hands. Tell them we're trying to find Grimes, but he doesn't know what's happened to Miss Robinson. They can bring him back here.
Then what?
We'll let the sheriff handle it.
All right. But I'll tell you, Kendall, if he puts up a fight, I want to be there. It'll be a pleasure to shoot him.
The search began. At first, only a handful picked by Skinner knew what they were looking for. But the word spread, and with it, rumor. Grimes was the man. Grimes had done it. In an hour, every man who knew or cared about what had happened was a hunter. The quarry, innocent or guilty, was James Grimes. And it was obvious that if found, he had very little chance of standing trial. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, I returned to Miss Robinson's room.
Any change, Doctor?
No. They get the fellow that did it?
Not yet.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it? How come a man would want to kill a woman like this? She's the way I remember a woman should be.
Why don't you get a cup of coffee, Doctor? I'll stay with her until you come back.
I think I will. Stretch my legs a minute.
Turn around, Kendall. Don't move.
You look a little worse for wear, Grimes.
Well, they're after me. They're trying to kill me.
Any reason why they shouldn't?
Is she dead?
No.
I warned her. I've been warning her what had happened.
Put away the gun.
And get myself killed?
It'll be safer with me than the mob outside.
You! You're the trouble. The reason for everything. It's been men like you everywhere we go. Every town she has to find someone. I warned her. I told her I wasn't going to stand it any longer.
Well, I heard a different reason.
A different reason. What did she tell you?
About her husband. An unhappy marriage.
She said that? Told you about her husband?
Yes.
You want to know what really happened? She had a husband, all right. In Boston. I didn't know it at the time. I met her. I fell in love. She went away with me. After we were married, she told me.
She is your wife?
Surprising? Look at her. It's another one of her little ways. She thinks it's better if people don't know. She thinks I don't know why she wants it that way. I guess you could say we killed her husband. He committed suicide after she left him. Oh, you don't know. You don't know what it's been like. But I told her what I'd do if she went after another man.
I'm sorry.
Doesn't matter anymore. I hope she dies, and I won't have to feel these things.
If she dies, they'll hang you.
Yeah. Mm.
James?
Laylee. I'm sorry, Laylee.
Such a jealous boy. I never meant anything.
Don't Laylee.
I like to flirt. That's all. A woman likes to flirt. It doesn't mean anything. Mr. Kendall knows that.
Can't you stop acting? Even now, can't you stop?
Listen to him, Mr. Kendall. Has he been telling you what a terrible woman I am? I suppose it's true. But you're not much of a man, James.
Really?
You don't have to listen to this crime.
Oh, kill her.
Come outside.
Kill
no,
her.
No, you don't. Give me the gun.
Give me the gun. Lately.
She's dead.
Give me my gun.
I can't. You'll get a trial. Perhaps they'll understand.
There'll be no trial.
Now, Grimes, come back.
Grimes!
Grimes! I think I was rather glad I hadn't stopped Grimes when he went through the window. They killed him. But in this case, perhaps it was better than a public trial and hanging. Miss Eulalia Robinson and James Grimes were buried side by side in Virginia City, Montana Territory.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Jeanette Nolan, Larry Dobkin, Harry Bartell, Jack Moyles, and Jim Nusser. Music was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Stay tuned for the Ford Road Show, to be followed by the CBS News over most of these same stations. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. John Wall speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Difficulties here. That was The Actress. Again, that was episode 8. Original air date, the 23rd of March, 1958. Starring John Denner and all that good stuff. Coming up next, I don't really care for Burt Reynolds much, but seeing how a couple weeks ago they showed the second top grossing movie of 1977, just a three quarters of a mile away, I'm going to play a little bit off of that from that soundtrack. And then there's a duet with Dolly Parton that he had from The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. I believe that was in 1982. 1981 or 1982. Again, not a big fan of Burt Reynolds, but I need to try and play this before 7, I suppose. Thanks for listening. Matt with the Whirlpool's up next.
Buford T. Justice, please.
Who that?
This is Bandit Darvill talking.
Where are you, you some bitch? Before I tell you where I am, Sheriff, there's just one thing I want to say. You must be part coon dog, because I've been chased by the best of them. And son, you make them look like they're all running in slow motion.
I just want to say that.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bandit. And as the pursuer, may I say you're the goddamnest pursuee I ever pursued.
Now that the mutual bullshit is over...
Where are you, you some bitch?
I'm right down the bottom of the hill, Sheriff. I'm 6'8" in a cowboy outfit. I got a little pygmy standing right beside me dressed just like me. You can't miss me.
10-4.
Wait a minute.
Scratch that. Hold it.
I can't lie to you, Sheriff. You're too good a man. Look over your left shoulder. We're on our way to Boston to get some clam chowder.
Bye-bye.
They wish they were you.
Bandit, you're reckless, and you live much too hard. Bandit, you're the joker in the deal of the cause. You're a legend to the old man, child.
Bandit, steal a lady's heart with only her smile. They call you the bandit. They call you the bandit. They call you the bandit. They call you the
sneaking around.